Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning to encourage you on your travels to work, on your travels to deeper in God, moving in, by God's grace, is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Also joining us this morning, is from the city, from the shadows of the Freedom Tower. The shadow is on his head. It's so close, you know. Is near the Hudson River. It's John Ramos.
Good morning.
You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're here to encourage you this morning as I look on shock on faces this morning. Yes, that's who we are. We're here to encourage you. We are in and about and around the nation. We believe there's hope, no matter what the adversary may say, no matter what craziness happens in leadership across the lands of the world, including politics. In America, God is in control. We'll give a shout out this morning to our new listeners. Hello, Donnie. Welcome. Have a seat in the virtual stadium. Today, we are going to encourage you. Well, Donnie and Edward and Rick and Sharon and Mary and Tori and Barbara and Carrie and Alberto and Ronnie and Patricia and Paula. Norma, welcome. Welcome all. There's so many of you that are joining us every single day and having a seat. And then we sit daily in the virtual stadium to have this conversation about God and hope and encouragement. I just want to encourage you this morning. Have a seat. Kick back. Relax. You're going to be encouraged. You're going to be inspired. You're going to get some insight. And be encouraged to go into all the world. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And joining me this morning to encourage you is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, John. Also joining us this morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Well, here we are. You ever have one of those mornings that you kind of fall out of bed on the wrong side?
Yeah, a few times.
I think John had one this morning. No. Obviously it was Chris. Man, you know, I just want to encourage you guys. I got an encouraging word for you. Look away from news. Look away. Just look away from it. Understand God's in control. You don't have to look at it.
Right.
You're thinking, oh my goodness. I think I remember this when I was raising children, that's how things people acted, but it's like, you're grown folk.
Exactly.
We know what you're doing. It's like, mm-hmm. It's not a secret.
You're telling on yourself right now.
I know. It just makes you wonder, you know, you think Jeremiah was looking at the same thing, and if Prozac would have been around, would he have been on it? <You know>? Just trying to stay out the cave.
Right.
You know, Elijah says, he goes and sees his doctor, and he says, what's going on? I said, I'm having visions of losing my head. I don't know what it is. He says, you're losing your mind. He says, no, I think I'm going to lose my head if Jezebel mm-hmm. gets away. It's amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the real deal. I want to encourage you this morning that don't look at the grid of America when you're looking at the grid of the kingdom. A grid is like latitude and longitude on a map. You can only find out where you are if you know where you are on the grid. Mm-hmm. And even have people going, you know, the Black Hawk helicopter dudes, and you got to get off the grid. It's like, dude, there is no off the grid anymore. You just serve Jesus while you're on the grid, right?
Yeah, right.
And if your dot was to Zen, let them see your dot repenting quickly. Your bleep. I mean, there was a day that people would pay. They pay a lot of money to watch dots on a screen. They call them air traffic controllers, right?
Right.
And now we have children watching and navigating people. We have Bobby flying at 2 degrees altitude going through L and J Street in the city because they're watching them on their applications on their phones and their Google Map tracking and all these different things. And it's like, I mean, everybody's an air traffic controller now.
Right.
Mm. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
They go, well, you can see Pat's going in to get his hair product. You know? I mean, they know this stuff. They know this stuff. Mm. And he pulls out, you know, his big, huge gold credit card. No, he's
American
he's,
Express Black. Don't forget.
No, he just lets his chauffeur pay for everything. So, he lives in the cloud. I mean, this guy lives in the cloud. Happens to be a paper plant, but you know, it's not the virtual cloud. You know, I just thinking about it, you got to look away from it. You got to look away from it because you look at the news today and I'm really encouraged by one thing. And one day it didn't encourage me, but now it encouraged me. Most people don't even care what's going on. So they're not watching. They're not watching everything crumble before our eyes.
Right.
But you don't have to help them unlearn what they never learned in the first place. Mm-hmm. You just got to teach them the ways of God. But you say, man, did you see that last night? You're talking about, you know, some sort of financial collapse in Greece. They go, yeah, I know. Do you think Bobby Joe's going to marry her or what? He's like, what are you talking about? Marry her? What are you, who's Bobby Joe? And they go, like, the Bachelor thing. The Bachelor thing? This is a show. What do you mean this is a show? He's like, there's this guy and they have all these girls. And he's like, oh, my goodness. Are we watching things like that? Why the world crumbles.
That's right.
And then it makes me think about Yulong. And Hong Kong and China, and I'm talking to him about his parents retired from public service. I think everybody's in public service in China. You know, even the people who work for Apple. Yeah, we're in public service from retirement. And I said, well, do you know about this? Do you know about that? Do you know about this? You know, and Yulong's saying, well, they only give us happy news there. Mm. They only give us happy news. And that's what's going on now. I mean, things are progressing. Was like, give them entertainment. Just entertain them while we run the world. Mm. And people go, okay, who's the star in this movie? You, run for your life. Hunger Games was about our future if you don't wake up. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing how Hollywood is much more, I mean, it's like God tells us what's going to go on.
Yeah.
And Christians watch it like, wow, that's pretty not real, but I enjoyed it. And then it ends up, that's my future. I'm in this.
Exactly.
You know, you can. It's amazing how easily people say, you know, I don't think fasting is of the Lord. You know, it's like you just want to eat all the time, and people react really crazy. They're not willing to die, and people will fight hard for food, and even a taco
with hot sauce.
With hot sauce.
Ooh, slap your mama hot sauce.
And you can control a people by, you know, controlling the food. So they got the prices of the foods going up by some. You know, I'm not a shopper anyway. You know, if Amazon does not, a shopper, okay?
Okay.
I'm not a shopper. I remember the times I went and I've been scarred. but I do shop.
You're a shopper. You just don't shop in
the
stores.
I shop on Amazon.com. I got that thing that delivers within, you know, a minute.
Prime.
Prime. Yes, you pay a certain annual fee, which is cheaper than gas to go pick something up. Right. And they ship it for free. And they ship it like within 2 days or something.
Well, you know, Walmart has same day delivery now.
Really?
Online?
I think so. I heard them talking about it on the radio.
Oh, but it's like, that's for like John City. And by the way, our Walmarts are bigger than their Walmart.
I think Amazon's going to start.
There's like a junior food stores up there in Jersey. And it's like, this is a Walmart?
Yeah.
I mean, we have like, you know, car lots inside our Walmarts.
Walmart now.
What's that?
One. We got one. Because, you know, the unions, you know, they're allowed in Jersey.
There's unions in Jersey?
Oh, my goodness.
we were going through Jersey one day. John and I was, and this guy jumps out of his truck in the middle of the road, parks sideways. His door slings open. It's like some F-150, but it's a Spanish F-150. He jumps out. No, he's Italian. And he begins to just chew this guy out. Like, you know, you're not paying me my money for the keep. It was like, I'm like, what is going on? This is like the movies. Oh my goodness. And it felt like, you know, that it was amazing what I saw right there. And John says, I'm dying to come up with the money. I just can't come up with it. I thought the Vito, and Vito's trying to give me the money. It's amazing what's happening, you know, in our culture today. I think the one thing that's lost, besides much of the church, is what we came from. You know, I love those people. Like, I will never forget where I came from. And it's like, right. You're in a Hollywood mansion for $3.5 million. You got ducks swimming in your pool. You forgot. You forgot where you came from. And it's like, we have to remember where we came from. And if you haven't gone to the VFN Torch or the highlights on your application, your mobile app, and looked at original intent, I meant, why not look at it now before it's a history lesson? And everybody thinks we have it all figured out. You know, it's going to be an election's coming up, and whoever you're for, you're thinking this will resolve all the problems. But the sad thing is, you know, when Israel was facing a great dilemma and God showed up, an angel showed up, and Joshua looked at this angel and he's concerned. He's wondering, you know, are you Republican or Democrat? Mm-hmm. Are you for American or against America? Are you communist, socialist, for the Republican form of government, which would be a democracy? And are you for us or against us? Are you for the enemy or are you for us? Mm-hmm. And God totally blew him away, didn't he?
That's right.
Yeah.
He says, neither. I'm on God's side. Mm-hmm. And we've created, enemy loves factions. He loves to be able to divide everybody and everything. And then he convinces you that God's in your faction. He's like, nope, he's not. And hopefully today we'll get to, you know, who does God love? We need to revisit that. And you understand where we're coming from. Because he loves the people in your faction. And he loves the people that are not in your faction. And we got to all start getting along and understanding as America so we can have one nation, you know, under God, indivisible. But that means with no factions, with liberty and justice for all. And we're days away. Mm-hmm. We're days away. Prophetically, I'm concerned about it. You just look away from the news. Let me encourage you. When you see it coming on, I'm not going to name any letters or anything of news that you would watch. But reality, I mean, good news, I mean, meaning news that reports the truth. Is still some things you just kind of glance at right now, because at this point you're looking at a crescendo of consequences that have come upon a nation that because of a church that continues to eat peanut butter from armpits. And we will be talking about that actually something that's happened. We talked about that yesterday to get a chance to get to it, but we have ministers now that are we're just like the world. The church is like the world. There's no difference there, but I'm going to talk to you about that today. But they're spreading peanut butter in front of the church in a man's armpit, and they're eating it. They're eating it. And people are walking out of the room in disgust, and they're publishing it on YouTube, and there's no shame. There's no shame. And it's like, what have we become? Mm. What have we become? We've become the world is what we've become. We've become like the world, trying to win the world, when God's called us to be nonconformists. Mm-hmm. And we're called to be nonconformists. And everybody, when you walk against the grain and walk with God's grain, there's so many people who got one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and the enemy uses them to beat you and pound you just to line up with the people who eat peanut butter from armpits. Mm. I mean, it's weird. I mean, obviously, everybody's not doing that, but the thing is like, we got to quit being like the world.
That's right.
It's. Listen, when you think that's okay, that means we're in trouble. Mm. When you wink at the fact that the first rock concert that your kids have ever experienced is in what you call the congregation, you know, when the first time they ever imitated Baal worship by eating pudding out of a diaper to imitate human feces on what you call the altar, and you video that, and then you share that, and you tell all the kids, come video it as they watch and they celebrate. you know, this is, that's not right. That's not, what are you doing anyway? And oh my goodness. I mean, why would you do that? I mean, even if you're in the world, why would you do that to your employees? Would you bring them all in? Hey, let's just, I mean, I know this sounds crazy, but we're going to show you, you're going to be video available for you today on the VFN Torch so you can see firsthand what's taking place. And what it is that for so long now, it's been taught, you know, the church needs to become like the world to win the world. And, you know, that's like saying, listen, I want to win a few bank robbers, so I'm going to rob a few banks.
Mm-hmm.
That's just stupid. And the reality is, when they do find God, they're going to leave you because you aren't walking with them. I mean, if you become like the world, the Word of God tells us that friendship with the world is an enemy of God.
That's right.
And we can be in the world, but not of the world. We have to wake up. Well, that's kind of peculiar. Well, we're called to be a peculiar people. The church, the word church means called out one. And then when we go in the world, we're called the sent out ones. There's a place that we come to, and there's a place that we go out from, but we don't become like the world. Yeah, we make mistakes. Yes, we sin. But it's called sin. It's things that we hate, things that we do that we hate, not things that we do that we love. I mean, it's things we make. There's a big difference in that, a huge difference in that. And then you're looking for people that have made a similar falling like you, living continually and try to justify the way you're living your life versus, there's a huge difference between falling in mud and wallowing in mud. Just like a sheep. You have a sheep and then you have a pig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're walking around a mud hole. And as you can tell, I'm just a little, anyway.
Perturbed.
What?
Perturbed.
Is that a word?
Yeah.
Speaking of diapers, you're right, yeah, I know. I think it had a puh in front of it. I'm not
hurt.
I don't know what that word means.
He's getting good.
I'm glad I heard the puh part in front of it. Anyway, so the where was I? Anyway, so you have a sheep
and a pig.
Yeah, you have a sheep walking through around this mud puddle, and you have a pig walking around a mud puddle. Now, what tells the difference? Even if they look the same on the outside, how they relate to the mud puddle will tell you who they are. Mm-hmm. And imagine the sheep and the pig look exactly alike.
Mm-hmm.
And how they relate to the mud is how you know who they are. And so somebody comes over and convinces them and says, hey, you can walk on top of this stuff. You're not going to go in it or whatever. And of course the lie happens.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them take a step at the same time. They go blap and they're all in the mud. So they're both in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
But they still look the same. They got mud on them. They look the same before they went into the mud. But all of a sudden, you start looking at them. And you have one, the sheep, whose eyes are like big and round and shocked and all this emotional disturbance. And they're kind of fighting to the edge of this pool-like thing, trying to get out and slipping and going back in, getting out, slipping and going in. Going, and they're just like, oh, I got to get out of this. And finally they get out, they get cleaned off, and they're going, that was terrible. That was so bad. That was, oh my goodness. It was just, it was so disgusting. I God forgive me. But then you look back at the other one, who was a pig on the inside, and they're wallowing in it. They're going, I didn't know this was available. I didn't know there was pigsties like this. I didn't know that you could live in this. I mean, this stuff tastes good. Matter of fact, I think I'm just going to bask in it. Oh, my goodness. And so a pig makes his home in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
But a sheep is shocked. Paul says, the things that I don't want to do, I do. Things I do, I hate. And so our relationship, we may all look the same. But how we respond to the mud tells you who we are. John writes in, I believe it's 1 John, he says, somebody who knows the Lord cannot continue in sin. But he also says, if someone says they're without sin, they're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
But we have that God is just God, and he'll forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess it. So there's a way to deal with mud that gets on our life. But a pig stays in the mud.
Right.
Somebody who said, you know, I'm just going to just go after the world. I'm not going to. And the crazy thing is, like, quit enabling people and trying to convince them to be what you want them to be instead of allow them to realize what they are. So at least there's a starting point from their life. But if you keep telling them that they're a sheep when they're actually saying, well, actually, I'm loving this mud. Yeah, this is what I want for my life. This is how I want to live my life. It's so much better for anybody, for us to know where we are, because if you keep telling me that I'm a sheep when I'm a pig, you know, and you keep building programs around for pigs, then I'm going to go bust hell wide open. And the very thing you told me that I was, I find out at the throne room of God, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You let me come to the end of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so, I mean, the devil has so many enabling things. And the church does a lot of the enabling things. It has so much enabling things in the world itself, because you see somebody who would have come to the end of themselves 5 years ago, like the prodigal. I mean, think about it. We have a prodigal church in America right now. Most of the church is a prodigal church. What's about to happen? Well, everything's squandered, right? Just like the prodigal. It's all been spent on all the things that the prodigal spent stuff on. But I got news for you, and you'll hear about who does God love. God loves that man and woman. He even loves the pig,
right,
who loved the mud. And he loves the sheep who fell in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was an economic crisis came to the place where the prodigal was. And financially, he could not afford his sin habits anymore.
Right.
And he got so hungry because of the famine and because of the economic crisis that he began to even look at what the pigs were eating. It's interesting, he was feeding pigs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And began to crave things that he thought he was so much better than, you know, in his own head, because he actually lived with pigs, that now he's craving what the pigs are eating. But then he's upset because the person he's working for at a job he thought he'd never have or even be seen working,
right,
the owner won't even let him eat some of the pig food.
Right.
This is what's going on. You know who's telling this story? This is Jesus, right? And in that mud that he loved so much originally, you know, all the sexual promiscuity, all the wild living, squandered all the finances that was ever given to him. In that pigsty, in that financial crisis, in the famine, in the hunger, something very important happened. And if we as the church keep saying, oh, we don't want this economic crisis and we don't want this famine, it's like, you know, first of all, if you're a believer, you're going to heaven.
That's right.
I mean, if only 95% of the people that proclaim to be believers are not winning one person to the Lord, at least be like Samson and kill more in your death.
Right.
You know, win people right. more in your death than your life. Be willing to die so that many would be saved.
That's right.
Be willing to go through something that others would be saved. And so in that crisis, this very one that shamed, can you imagine because the towns were so small back then anyway, you didn't need Facebook and all that. But today, I mean, if you look at Facebook, you have these prodigals all over Facebook. And so you have sheep and prodigal all over Facebook. And sometimes you just got to look away and it's like, there's no, you know, because the prodigal has no shame.
Right.
They're just going after the world. They will. That's timeline. You know, we all, by the way, if they would have had this technology,
I would
be all over it. Not as much as John, but I would definitely be on it. There would be enough evidence.
Don't worry. There'd be plenty for me.
There'd be plenty of evidence. So it's to say that our generation who didn't have that technology is any different, realize that we're on the film reels of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
There's Photoshop in heaven that is erased by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, except unless you smoke the Bible. No, and so it was in the crisis that he came to his senses. It took all of that. It took the end. Somebody says, well, he just came or she just came to the end of themselves. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Well, America is just going to come to the end of itself. Yes. You know, and it has sometimes things have to die to reborn again.
That's right.
You know, and so here the prodigal is standing in the mud that he once loved, hungering after things he thought he would never have to be, you know, I don't want that food. I don't eat that kind of stuff. And now he won't even, it won't even be given to him. He is broke, busted, and disgusted. There's nowhere to go because nobody's got no money. And everybody's going through the crisis, including even his father, who he left, is going through the crisis as well. Everybody's going through the financial crisis. Everybody's going through the drought. But the difference is they're going through it with God, and he's going through it with pegs.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's in that moment, because God has given us each a decision to make. Nobody can make the decision for you. And it just dawned on him. It dawned on this prodigal, pigsty keeping, corn feed one, squandered life, blown inheritance person. Just dawned on him. He's like, it just brain started working. He says, they said, the word of God says this. Jesus says this. He came to his senses. Let me tell you something. This is so important. Prepare yourself for this, because you've been probably deeply wounded and offended by prodigals. But despite the fact that you've been deeply wounded, I mean, look at America. Look at all the people who's gone astray, claim to be believers, and what they've done. To realize this, God will forgive them in a heartbeat. You better be ready. You better be ready. God will restore them. And we're fixing to find out what will happen. And you, they owe you nothing. They owe you not one thing. The only thing that you owe them is love, grace, and forgiveness. The same thing that God gives them. So what happens is he comes to his senses and he realizes, it's like, you know, good thing that, you know, you wouldn't want us to be God.
No.
Now you've spent everything. Now you've blown everything. Now that your lovers don't want you no more. Now they won't feed you. You got the job, said you never worked. Now. Mm. Right?
That's right.
That's exactly what Pat would say. Now the Saints are losing.
right.
Exactly. Where were you?
Where were you in the bad days? And so he comes to his senses. Allow the prodigal, sus, plural, to come to their senses. Allow them to come to their senses. It can happen. Jesus said it will. And they start thinking, you know what? I was better off. The first thing he says is this. He came to an awareness of his sin. And there was two levels of sin. There was one level, he says, I've sinned against God. And this is a very important key to a prodigal coming to their senses. Because sometimes there's no, it's not a prodigal coming home. It's a prodigal looking for another place because because there was no boarding house at the pigsty. And but he came to his senses and he looked to heaven. He looked to God and he goes, I've sinned against God. And he was aware now of everything that he had done was sin, which is very important. So he's broken for the sin that he committed against God. And then he realized, you know, I've sinned against my Father. You have the vertical, he had to deal with his vertical sin. Then he had to deal with his horizontal sin, the sin that he committed with his, with those who fathered him or her and loved them. And, you know, they had to, if not, if you don't deal with that, the enemy will still divide you. You've got to take it to the cross and get healed and get delivered and get set free, because you're going to be blown away what happens when you deal with your sin. And then he says, after he deals with the sin, his vertical sin with God, his horizontal sin with men, he starts heading back because he realized, because he left his Father's house, he says, I realized I was better off. I'd be better off as a servant. Now, when he left or she left, arrogant, prideful, demanding, stimulus packages wanting type mindsets, you know, that dad or mom or pastor so-and-so doesn't know nothing, you know, and now they've come to their senses, realize that's not how they're going to think. And this is, they're so humble now. They're saying, you know what? I was very, this is what they're really saying. I was so demanding when I was here. Mm-hmm. I thought I deserved everything, but now I'll just be grateful to be around. How can I serve? Now, somebody coming back to your fellowship or to your family and starts bossing people around, they're just, that's just a prodigal looking for a place to prodigize. You know what I'm saying? That is not a repented prodigal. And they just, what they'll do is they'll end up squandering everything else, mm-hmm. you know, and you'll have nothing, for there'll be nothing for them to return to. Mm-hmm. And, but he's just grateful to be around. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just grateful to be around. You don't have to say nothing, you have to do nothing. And they said, you know, I'll just go back and live in the servant quarters. I'll hang out with the servants, those people that I used to kind of look down on. I'll just hang out with the servants. And so he starts heading back. He has it all figured out now. Mm-hmm. He's dealt with his sin, come to his senses, humbled himself, right? I'll live with the servants. Right. And now he's heading back to be able to repent to his father. And his father started looking off at a distance. And he said, can you see my vision's not as good as it used to be? Is that who I think it is? And somebody says, that's her. That's him. No. Is it? Now you would think, based on the way the world thinks and the way religion thinks, that the father would have been just totally upset. But the father was so excited. Mm-hmm. He realized that his son that was dead mm-hmm. in sin, the daughter who was dead in sin, by the way, hello church, that is no longer dead. He's alive. Mm-hmm. She's alive. They've repented. They've come back to him, and he sees them coming. And instead of thinking, oh, I got this long journey to walk up to dad, I see him there at a distance. I got to think, rehearse what I got to say. Oh, my goodness, I know that I've done these wrong things. What am I going to do? And then all of a sudden, he sees his father, and you can imagine how a father looks when he's running. Not like we did in our younger days, right?
Clack, clack, clack,
clack, clack, clack, clack, clack, clack, clack. Those wooden sandals, you know, those wooden Nikes back then. Clack, 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 clack. And he starts running to him. He starts running to the prodigal, the one who blew all of his, well, the one who blew every chance that he was ever getting, she's ever getting. The one that just, you know, it just totally unashamedly lived a life for darkness and sin and posted it on all their social medias and lived all this squandered life. And all these messengers had come and because there's plenty of messengers saying, I just want to let you know. If you don't know yet, your prodigal child is in darkness. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you so much, you. and that did, they were a person. And so, and it's like, oh, messenger of Satan. Paul said, all I want to know is Christ and him crucified. That's anybody it. Else wants to friend me on Facebook and tell me something I don't want to know?
Yeah, that's right.
Be Paul freaked out, right? And so, but he runs to him. He's running to him. He's running to this person who no, Lord knows what's in this person's life. I mean, she could be pregnant. She could have two or three children. He could have a couple children. There could be some sort of sexual transmitted disease in this person's life because they've been all this sexual promiscuity's been going on. There could be debtors coming after them. I mean, they've done everything that you could possibly do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, they're coming with luggage. Mm-hmm. But all the father cared that they were coming home. Coming home. And he runs after him. Does that blow the prodigal son's mind? Mm. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. He's running after me. I know this look. He's going to kill me. You know, the daughter's going like, I'm dead now. Like, can you imagine? Should I run? Should I stay? Should I keep a distance? I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Because they deserve to be whacked, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But the grace of God forgives. Mm. And all of a sudden, the prodigal, you see, starts leaning the opposite direction, starts about to take off. And you can see the knee bent, about to run the other direction. It's like, I am dead now. Mm-hmm. Never seen that man run like that. And then he says, no, 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 no. He says, don't go. No, 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 no. This is good. This is good. This is good. He says, this is good. Mm-hmm. I love you. This is good. Mm-hmm. I forgive you. And he starts saying, listen, I got a ring. And he puts a ring on his finger. And he says, listen, I got some new shoes for you. Those shoes are worn out. They got mud all in them, man. Here you some new shoes. Here's your robe, man. Put this robe of favor on. Somebody, you know, go get the tacos out. We're going to have a celebration today. You know, kill the fatted calf. You know, let's have a feast. I mean, this is great, right? I mean, you can imagine how blown the prodigal's mind was.
Mm-hmm.
Just blown. That's how good God is. Listen, America's going to repent. Yeah, we squandered everything. Yes, all this sexual promiscuity and all this stuff's going on. And what you're going to find out, yes, people are actually on a stage they call an altar eating peanut butter out of other people's armpits. But listen to me. Don't give up on a grace-filled, merciful God that can bring us all to a place of coming to our senses, that all of a sudden what seemed right at once becomes sin to us, and we repent and come to our senses, and we say, I've sinned against God, and I've sinned against man, and I'm going to make it right, and I've humbled myself. And this, what's coming to America, I truly believe,
mm-hmm.
is going to humble us. And we got to be ready, peanut butter and all, to take them back. And so then you say, listen, you know, go buy a big box of food because we're going to celebrate my son, my daughter, our brother, our sister who was with us at once, who went into the world and was lost and dead, has come back and they're alive. And then you got to deal with the other aspect of it as the religious spirit, with the one who didn't go anywhere, the one who didn't squander everything. Saying, I can't believe that he is forgiving him. I can't believe that she's given him a chance. I can't believe that there's no way she's going to do it again. You know, I'm not going to waste this fatty cow. I'm not cooking no tacos. I'm not going to do this. I'm just not going to do it. And so he's having this party, you know, and the religious brother is offended. He's offended because the father forgave the son. And so he goes over to the religious folk, who he loves too, because remember, who does God love? And he's talking to both of them. He says, listen, come on over to the party. Come over to the party. Don't you know what this guy's done? Listen, daddy took all your money. He stole your stuff. He accused you. He's shamed you. He's sinned against God. He's sinned against us. And I've been here all along, and I've done all this kind of stuff, and da, da, da. And he's going, you've had all this all along. You could have thrown a party anytime you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
This party we're throwing now is, yes, for him, but you could have killed a fatted calf for yourself. You tend the cattle. It's all yours. You're just upset because he's being celebrated. It has nothing to do with what we're using to celebrate him or her. He says, listen, my son that was once dead is alive. I really believe, you know, America's a prodigal nation now.
Mm-hmm.
Church is a prodigal nation. But you know what? Just like the prodigal story, we're about to go through the very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so just hold on. Realize it's worth it. You've been praying that they would come back, right? You've been praying that the prodigals would come. At the same time, you've been praying that you wouldn't go through nothing. But aren't you willing to go through financial crisis and famine that causes your sons and your daughters, including grown sons and grown daughters who might even be ministers doing peanut butter skits, to look up, come to their senses, deal with their Father God and the vertical sense of their sin and acknowledge and dealing with man who they sinned against? Is it not worth going through something for them, for that alone? Or are we going to be like the elder brother mentality and say, well, that's not the heart of God. That's not the heart of God. God loves the backslider.
Mm-hmm.
He loves the one who once was alive, who once walked with him, but have left him and now is dead in their sins. Because he says, Jesus says, by the way, my son that was alive, or my son that was dead is now alive.
Right.
Which blows all that doctrine out of the water. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wondered why that you did not live when they were, you know, figuring out the wheel? Why did you not live when they were figuring out how to write on papyrus when the Roman Empire was developing. You know, why did you not live when the Puritans or the Pilgrims or George Washington, you know, why did you not live when America was birthing at that time? You know, there's a reason that you were born right now. There's a reason that you were born in this generation. God has got a plan for your life. You are part of a chosen generation. And if you want to find out what God wants to do in your life, bring in the past, this end time church, this end time move of God, find out more. VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. VFNU.org. Check us out. You know, John, when I'm listening to the VFN radio program, I am so encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it, and you got the first hour, there's that break, you go right. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm air guitaring during that intro. When it's coming down, all of our VFN radio listeners, it is okay to air guitar.
No, that's right.
Because as far as I know, I've got that solo mastered, and if you know it, I'm rocking that air guitar. But when that segment's over, I'm like, man, I got to wait until tomorrow to hear the next program. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay. Well, if you haven't heard yet, if you don't know yet, you can listen to a program back to back to back. You can listen to five programs back to back to back and listen to the marathon weekend. You might be listening to the Monday's program or in the Tuesday's program, and then you got to wait 24 hours the next one. Well, you can listen to all five programs with no breaks in between. So check out the whole weekend marathon, Saturday, 9 a.m. Central until Monday, 9 a.m. Central, the weekend marathon. John, check it out. I was going out to eat last week, and I got to sit down at my table, you know, setting up my napkin. And this girl, she just starts running up and down at the different tables. And she's like, hey, do you have the Find My iPhone app? And I'm like, the what? She's like, you know, the app where if you lose your iPhone, you can find it. And I'm like, well, that kind of doesn't do you any good if you lose your iPhone. She's like, no, I use your phone to find my phone. And I was like, oh, they got an app for that? She goes, yeah, they got an app for that. I was like, oh, okay. Well, it was a cool thing. Like, as we started talking and she started telling me about the app I needed to get. So I got that app and I go, well, check it out. There's an app that you need to get. And she's like, really? I go, yeah, there's an app, VFNTV.com. And she's like, well, how do I get to that? I said, you can go right on Android or you can go on iTunes and type in VFNTV.com. Start telling her about the VFN radio, the daily radio program, everything that God's doing, God's news behind the news, the top three segments. You've got all the live programming. There's an app for that. And we start talking. She's like, wow, there's an app for that. I says, yep. Check it out.
There's an app for that.
VFNTV.com.
When I think about that, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, began, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what God birthed in us at that particular point was, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. We had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began mm-hmm. to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see where think about it. So and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be mm-hmm. a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. You are listening to VFN Radio. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John and Pat. So, Pat, tell us, man, what happened this morning in your abiding time? What did God impress on you this morning?
Well, actually, I was reading 2 Chronicles again, and I'm reading about Asa's son, Jehoshaphat, and something really interesting came to light when I was reading.
And Joe was fat. What was his name?
Jehoshaphat.
Jehoshaphat.
Interesting name, right? And the way where it begins in this part, you know, he became the next king after Asa. And
so Jehoshaphat was king after mm-hmm. King Asa.
He came right after Asa. And
Asa is the one that you said
last week, yeah, he was the one that got prideful in this latter part of his years and ended up, you know, robbing God from the treasuries to pay off his enemy.
Yeah, as a matter, we just talked yesterday that, you know, you can rob God. The question is, are you robbing him? You can find that on the VFN Torch or on Highlights.
And he never repented, so he ended up dying. But Jehoshaphat, he was a godly king as well. You know, he sought the Lord, and, man, he did a lot of great things for Israel. I mean, he was even the one that he sent people out to actually teach the people the word of God. I mean, he went to every single town and sent people there to actually teach them.
Which is an awesome pattern, isn't it?
Isn't that something?
Hey, I think it's one. I think we have VFN TV. Why? It's filled with teachings. We have to get taught the word. If we want to change this culture in this nation, you can't just like want it to change. You have to begin to sow the truth of God. That's why we have VFN Radio. That's why we have VFN TV. Because the teachings of God, we have to re-grasp again, right?
That's right.
If you want to change it, and you wanted to change it.
That's right.
And it will change when the teachings of Moses, the teachings of Jesus reign over our life. So teaching the word of God, pastors, teachers, is straight from the word. That's how we're going to change this nation, is teaching again. Okay.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's cool.
Well, then he got word that that these three nations were rising up and joining forces and about to come against him and the nation of Israel, or actually Judah. It was...
That sounds like Iran trying to come against Israel today, don't it?
It was the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir.
Wow, it's probably the same ones.
Yeah.
Nothing new under the sun. Huh?
Nothing new, man. They've been fighting.
Was this like 1978 or
1967, right?
67.
Yeah, right. So once he got word of it, it says in the word, he says he got terrified. And he said instantly he begged God for guidance. It's interesting how
there's nothing like
words.
Terror that brings you to your knees.
Oh my goodness. I've never heard that put together like that with any other king. You know, like David, he went and sought the Lord, but he's the words, I was terrified. He was terrified and he begged God forgiveness. That's interesting.
And then you think about it, when God told Joshua, when you're going in the land, he says, do not be terrified.
Exactly. So wow. God sent a prophet to Jehoshaphat.
It's what he always does.
Isn't that something?
It's important to pay attention when God's telling you something in the midst of darkness, mentioning your past. I don't want to hear it now. Yeah. It's dark. I don't want to hear about all my mistakes. It is like, no, you have to hear about your mistakes first. Remember where you came from, and then he brings you into the light. But if we're not willing to hear the truth in the midst of our struggle, then we're not going to come out of it.
Right.
He doesn't tell us after, you know, we're in some, you know, Tahiti somewhere drinking a little fruity drink with an umbrella in it and saying, well, let me prophesy to you.
Right.
It's in the midst of great struggle and all the consequences of what's happening in the environment.
Absolutely.
Kind of like now, right?
Absolutely. And he also called a fast.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Next.
No.
So then,
that's important.
Yeah, it is very important because God answered. That's when he sent the prophet.
Lord, help me to have a more fasted lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
All right.
Lord, I want, I pray for the grace of my life.
All right.
Have that fast lifestyle.
So then that's when, God sent the prophet and told him, say, look,
So he prayed and then he heard.
And the answer came.
He said.
And then God says, hang on, relax, be encouraged. The Lord's going to fight this for you.
Whoa.
All right. Cool. So then he tells him and gives him exact specific instructions where to go to find these guys.
A blueprint from heaven. Wow.
Yeah. Told him exactly where to go to find them because they had no idea. So they went out in the wilderness.
Them being the bad guys.
Meaning Jehoshaphat and the army, Israel's army.
Oh, okay.
He told where the bad guys were. Yes.
Okay, cool.
So they go out into the wilderness and what was cool though, Jehoshaphat gathers the army and he says, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army.
Let me get this straight. They're about to be destroyed. He's terrified. He falls to his knees. He quits eating food, cries out to God desperately, asks God to forgive him for his sins. A man shows up and said, the Lord would say unto you.
Exactly.
And he tells us, they're over here.
Yeah.
And I want you to go get some singers.
This is what Jehoshaphat did.
Oh my goodness.
This is what Jehoshaphat did.
And he obeyed him, huh?
Exactly. So he called out some singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord.
Figaro, Figaro, Figaro.
And praising the Lord and praising him for his splendor. And this is what they sang.
Lord, we praise your name. We thank you, God.
He says, they sang, give thanks to the Lord. His faithfulness endures forever.
There's a song like that.
Wow.
Give thanks to the Lord.
Get this. At that very moment, they began to sing and give praise to the Lord. the Lord that caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves.
So when they obeyed God and did exactly what he said and started praising the Lord and giving God glory and just worshiping him without them doing anything, God defeat their enemy, and all of a sudden the Muslim Brotherhood turned on themselves. I mean, all the infighting began to happen with all of Satan's captives.
Exactly.
At that moment.
At that very moment. Outside their eyeshot. They didn't know this was going on. So by the time they got there, they had all destroyed themselves. There was dead bodies everywhere. They were all completely wiped out.
Man.
And they didn't have to do a thing. They lift one finger. And that's all.
That's
because they gave praises to God. Let the Lord.
And they heard a strategy. They repented. Yep. They fell to the knees. They cried out. They fasted. The prophet came. They had to deal with the reality. And he began to tell them the strategy from heaven.
Right.
And the strategy seemed pretty wild, didn't it? It's like, where's the guns ablazing here?
Right.
And it was, okay, I just want you to sing. And I want you to praise God.
And then on top of that, there was so much loot. There was so much bounty. It took them 3 days to collect it all.
Wow.
God blessed them so much after all that.
So they have the wealth of the wicked was stored up for the righteous?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Is that encouraging?
Isn't that something?
Very.
That is so encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's where we are. You think about it. You know, that's where we are as a church in America. And, you know, you hear everybody right now saying, listen, 40 days of prayer and fasting and crying out to God. And people say, what good is that going to do? Well, it's going to definitely do good because God says that's what we do. But when he reveals our sin to us or we're aware of our sin, we got to say, in addition to praying, forgive me. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against others. And then we got to hear the prophet. We got to hear what's happening because he, you know, as obviously Jehoshaphat, he was into how God wants things to be run because he knew that was the only way it was going to work. So he began to teach all the commands of God to the people.
That's right.
We can't skip over how God wants marriage to be and how God wants family to be and how church is supposed to be and all the different things God tells us to do about finances and business. Well, that's called repentance and getting the word of God over us. But let me tell you something. You know, the only way that you can win these battles anyway is if God wins them, because you try to fight him in your own strength, it's not going to be good. It is not going to be good. That's a really encouraging word. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners are being encouraged this morning. You've been trying to look at something that was overwhelming. Maybe you were terrified at what you've seen. But I want to encourage you, Pat has encouraged you, that, and God has spoke that this morning in his abiding time, to send that out and letting you know that God will defeat your enemies if you follow his instructions.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.